In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? I think if you were to ask most Americans what time of year is most associated with a funny-looking bird, they would answer Thanksgiving. But if you live in Kansas, then you know that there's another time in the year when funny-looking birds start appearing everywhere, and it's not football season, but it starts happening right about now, in January and February and before March. And my dad was a KU guy, so I was very tuned into this when I was a child. And in the way that children can, I could walk in the door to my house and know whether KU basketball had won or lost from the way the house felt. Because there would either be energy and chatter and laughter and positive spirits all throughout the land, or the house would be dark and the curtains would be drawn. It would be silent. Everyone would sort of be in their own little corner thinking about whether the sun's going to rise tomorrow or not. And I was not the sports kid in the family. I was sort of, more likely to be off in the woods reading a book or something. But when I went to college, I went to a D3 school, so the sports were sort of, down a level. And then some people in my dorm got me into the intramural team, so that's sort of down another level. And we're playing team sports with guys on both sides that would have maybe been in the chess club or the debate team. We were a school of individual sports and not team sports. But I played basketball, and my dorm's team was doing really, really well. And so I called my dad, and he loves to tell this story. I called my dad, and I was very excited. I was like, "Dad, we're going to the basketball championship. You know, you can finally be proud of me for playing basketball." He was proud of me about playing, but for playing basketball. And he said, "Well, that's great, Ben. What position do you play?" And I thought about that, and I said, "Well, I think it's score stopper." When I had started playing, I didn't know a thing about basketball, but some of the guys on the team who did literally found a way for me to participate just by being on the floor. And they sort of showed me how to hold my hands up and how to set a pick, which is the one bit of basketball language that I know. And I was thinking about that this season with the First Corinthians reading. Now, this is one of my favorite parts of all of Scripture. When I thump the Bible at people, I'm usually thumping something out of First Corinthians. And this First Corinthians 12, this idea that though we are one body, we are many and many and diverse parts, has come to be very near the center of my faith. This idea that whatever we are, whatever we do, whatever God has given to us, we have a deep and abiding need of one another, has come to rest very near the center of what it is for me to be a Christian and to be a member of the church. I want to play with this metaphor of basketball, and you'll have to deal with the fact that I've got a handicap on the subject. I really don't know it well, but it's like being on a basketball team, isn't it? On a team, you need one another, and if you sort of have five people out there trying to do their thing, trying to do whatever they think is best, just sort of, getting the ball and doing whatever they know how to do with it up and down the field, you're not going to make it to the goal. You're not going to get inside. You're not going to get past the defenders and the obstacles. You have to learn how to work together. You have to set your picks, and you have to pass the ball. You have to work with the different things that different people can do. You get your big guy under the backboard on defense, or you get your fast guy to take the ball down the court, or whatever it is that you're doing. But you have a need of each other. You can't do it alone. And what I like about the readings today, I think if you were to take you got stuck on a desert island with just one page of lectionary readings and had to read them for the rest of your life, I think this would be a good page. Because I think a lot of what happens in the life of the church is in these readings. They bring out the scriptures, and they proclaim them, and they interpret them. They listen to the word of God in Nehemiah, and at the end of it, they acknowledge that the day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in the way that a basketball team has to learn what its fundamentals are, part of why we gather, part of why we hear the stories over and over again, is to remind us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That when we gather to worship God, we're feeding the deeper parts of ourself. We're taking something in and making it the bones of our faith life. We're making it the structure that we've got to hang our blessings on, the building up of ourselves to be hands and eyes and feet and proclaimers and teachers and apostles and healers, whatever it is that we are. We're taking those things in by gathering as a community and kind of going over our fundamentals, the same way a basketball team has to. Now, I've heard that to get a movement of your body, whether it's sort of a dance form or a basketball shot or whatever it is, you have to repeat it 1,000 times. And once you've done it 1,000 times, sort of, you know, somewhere in that big number of times, your body learns the rhythm of it, and you know how to do it automatically. What if we treated our faith life like that? What if you took the things that you want to be good at spiritually and practiced them 1,000 times until they got inside you so deeply that they could be used automatically? Like a basketball team, we practice the things that we want to be able to do so that when it's time for the game, when the world appears before us with its need, or when somebody in our life has a crisis or a problem, we're able to be present to it with the whole of ourself, our emotions and our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our strength, our skills and our thoughts and our reasons. We practice those things. We practice what we preach. We practice what we hear from Scripture. We practice what we learn from Jesus so that we've got the ability to use our blessings when it's time to use them. I love the image of Jesus going to church from the gospel today. Jesus goes into the temple, as was his custom, and they ask him to read. They hand him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah is lengthy and full and rich. You can find about whatever you need in it somewhere, the same way you can find about whatever you need somewhere in the whole Bible. And Jesus opens it, and he finds a place where the prophet's telling the people that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, this is what he does. This is what he's sent to do. He's been anointed to bring good news to the poor. He's been sent to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. He's been sent to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isn't that what this team that we're on is about? Proclaiming wherever we are and however we know how to, the year of the Lord's favor. Proclaiming that the joy of the Lord is our strength. This looks different in every life. You can have the same gifts, and the circumstances of your life will be different, and you'll have to move differently. The same way a basketball player has to deal with whatever is on the court ahead of him or her. We are called to be Christians in this way. We're called to learn and take into ourselves in deep and powerful ways how to do this, how to articulate what our goals are, what the life and mission and ministry of the church is when we say that we followed the example of Jesus. What it is that we take in the bread for the journey for when we gather and remember and celebrate the Eucharist that Jesus gave to us. What it is that we say we're being baptized into when we make those promises at baptism to help to heal the world, to follow Jesus, to turn away from evil and towards good, away from sin and towards love, when we promise to respect the dignity of every human being and to seek a more just world. So I hope that through this season, that those Jayhawks or Wildcats or Tigers, and after that I lose the Big 12, but Missouri's not in the Big 12 now. But whatever your team is, whatever that image is, when you see it, I hope you can remember that you're also on a team, and you've also got gifts and skills and fundamentals, and God needs you to be using them. The world needs you to be using them. And Jesus has called you to follow him and to use them. And it's in his name as our Lord that we pray these things. Amen.